And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Happy New Year, everybody. It's coming. It's on the way. Only two more days, and we will enter into a brand new year, 2021. And many people are saying, goodbye 2020 and good riddance. And I understand the sentiment. Believe me, this has been one interesting year. And that's putting it very politely. But you know what? God is still on the throne. And nothing that's happened surprises him. You know, God never looks down from his throne and goes, wow, I never expected that. How in the world did that happen? Everything that happens, God already knows it's going to happen. And by the way, folks, it's really, really bad theology to say, well, God ordained it or God allowed it. I mean, that's like saying God allowed Adam and Eve to sin in the Garden of Eden by eating the forbidden fruit. Well, he didn't allow it like, well, I could stop it, but I won't. He only allowed it in the sense that he gave them the freedom to choose, okay, to make their decision whether they were going to obey God or do something different, disobey God and rebel against him. They chose to disobey God and rebel against him. God didn't want it. God didn't ordain it. God didn't ask for it. He didn't hint that that was a good thing. It was completely and totally against the will of God. So when people say, well, you know, it wouldn't have happened if God hadn't allowed it, it kind of implies that somehow it's what God in one way or another willed or wanted. And that's simply not true. The word of God says in Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, plans to do you good and not harm. So then if it's harmful, it's not God doing it, because he said my plans for you to do you good, not harm, and to give you hope. If it's something that's inducing despair, discouragement, depression, it's not depression. It's not God. God says to give you hope and a future and an expected end. And so I think a lot of people tend to blame God or try to say, well, God is doing this stuff for some reason. And I just don't buy that. I just don't buy. In fact, my wife and I were talking earlier today, you know, about COVID and some of the impact it's having. And it's just wreaking havoc through this economy, in part because of these little petty tyrants who think this is their opportunity to be God, their opportunity to control everything and everybody. But it's been wreaking havoc. And we know that it came from a godless country. It came from a country whose official policy is there is no God. And the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. So therefore, you got a whole leadership coterie in communist China of fools. According to the word of God, they're fools. But those fools are wicked. That's the very definition of their foolishness. They're wicked. And they unleashed on the world a virus that almost brought the whole world to its knees. And you had a bunch of people here prepared to cooperate and help them and bring the country to its knees. And some of them, like out in California, they're still doing that same stupid mess of cooperating with our adversary who unleashed this stuff, I'm convinced, in order to bring us down. Because China's reporting, and we don't know how much they're lying. We know they always lie. The Communist Chinese Party always lies. But they're reporting that they've got COVID completely under control. That's what they're reporting, at least. And here we are in America talking about and debating it and lockdowns and blaming President Trump. Folks, the situation is not God's design. It is the devil's design. All this death and destruction and division and hatred and all this fraud that went on in this last election, none of that is God's design. That's the devil's design. You know, before God had Noah build an ark, he said he looked at man. He said all the thoughts of man's heart were only evil continually. Whereas God said, I don't find people thinking anything good. Everything they're thinking is wicked. Well, that's the propensity of people without God. That's their predisposition. That's the way they roll, if you will, without God. That's the direction in which they go. And we're looking at a whole set of cultural influences that are trying to take us that way. But the word of God stands. The people of God stand. Our minds have not been changed one bit. Our values have not been changed one bit. Our approach to this has not changed one bit. It shouldn't. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, even though people want to rewrite the Bible and they really want to write God out of existence. But nevertheless, God still sits on the throne. He still sits high and looks low. And he still ultimately super rules over the affairs of mankind, which means that he is the arbiter of morality and he is the ultimate determiner of the outcome of human history. And nothing that anybody does is going to change the outcome that he has ordained. But along the way, people are going to do pretty much what they want to do. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded their eyes. The God of this world, who is that? Satan? He's the God of this wicked system of things. Satan. So we are on the winning side. Okay, those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are on the winning side. And I don't care if it's down to the final minute of the final quarter of the final game. I don't care what point it is in the play. We win. That's it. Plain and simple. We win. Marxism is not going to win. Communism is not going to win. Socialism is not going to win. Fascism is not going to win. None of this garbage that is sold to the American people today, none of it is going to win. And along the way, there may be some apparent defeats, but we have to take heart. This country was birthed that way. This country was birthed that way. George Washington lost more battles than he won, but he won the war. And that's what ultimately matters. Of course, we want to win every battle we can along the way. And one of the battles that is being fought right now is this election. There are 22 days left before the situation becomes irreversible. I think once, if it happens that Joe Biden is inaugurated on January 20th, I think for this cycle, it is over. And then we've got to look to whatever was done to defraud the American people and make sure that it's not done again. And in my view, that means getting rid of all these mail-in ballots, getting rid of all this hokey stuff that people use to cheat the American people, allowing an absolute scrutiny and transparency, no more putting poll watchers out in the middle of the night and then pulling out ballots from under a desk that nobody knew were there and counting those while there's nobody there to witness the process. No more of that. No more of having ballots appear in which nobody has to verify the signature. Nobody has to verify the authenticity of the ballot. And because it's a mail-in ballot, it is simply counted without any verification of the identity of the person who sent it in. No more of that. That's over. That's got to stop. I got an insight into this year, which I'm going to share with you when I come back. I want to know what you think of it. It's probably going to take in a different direction than the way I've thought about all of this that's happened in 2020. We'll see what you think. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. The recent revelation of a Chinese spy involved with a member of Congress has been a vivid reminder that China has been using various ways to gather intelligence. They not only use actual spies, but gather intelligence from students, tourists, and businessmen. This thousand grains of sand approach gathers what might seem to be inconsequential bits of information that they can then put together with other information to gain a full picture of what is happening in this country. When we think of spying, we often think of the Red Sparrow approach that has been used by the Soviet Union. A female intelligence operative gains the trust of a political leader, then puts him in a compromising sexual relationship. This is then used for blackmail in an effort to collect critical information. The Chinese method is different. Their honeypot method is to gain information simply by developing a trusting relationship. This relationship might develop long before the target has much political influence. He may merely be a city council member, but today's mayors and city council members are tomorrow's members of Congress and presidential candidates. The Chinese also use students in this country. According to the Chinese National Intelligence Law, every Chinese national is required to provide information to the Chinese Communist Party and be interviewed by consulate officials. China also has established Confucius Institutes on many university campuses. They are supposed to be providing college students with greater awareness of China and teaching Chinese languages. They provide a base of operation for Chinese spies who can collect research material and military secrets. And the Chinese consulates in this country are also used as a base of operation for Chinese spies. All of this is why our government must address this growing problem of Chinese spying. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you just heard by visiting pointofview.net. That's pointofview.net.
This is 60 Seconds with America's Altar. Come and present your heart to the Lord. How do we win the heart of mankind to Jesus Christ? The psalmist says in 52:8, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." That's where life is. We must be like an olive tree in this hour. We must know that we trust God for everything and everything and everything. We must trust in His mercy because mercy triumphs over judgment. And in the age in which we live, self-righteousness has spread itself throughout this nation, and people are judging people. People are finding themselves judging themselves. We must ask ourselves, where am I with God? And through that, must show the love of Christ to all. Let's win a soul to Christ today, because we are like green olive trees in the house of God.
Come and present your heart to the Lord. Learn more at americasaltar.org. That's americasaltar.org.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We're back. You know, all of you have listened to me for a while now. Some of you are brand new. I hope there are new people listening today who don't know me and haven't listened long enough to know where I'm coming from. But those of you who have know that I'm not big on conspiratorial thinking, because I just think it's lazy thinking. It's easy thinking. It can easily morph into a kind of paranoia and seeing, you know, conspiracies under every bed. So I'm reticent always to see things in conspiratorial terms. Now, that doesn't mean, however, there's no such thing as a conspiracy. That doesn't mean that conspiracies don't happen. I just often believe that when people share the same set of values, they don't really need to sit down in a room and conspire in order to end up in the same place and end up supporting each other. I'll tell you something. I've been reflecting on the things that have happened this year, and I really believe, frankly, folks, that the Holy Spirit connected some dots for me, because I hadn't thought about it, at least not explicitly, in this way before. But for the first time, as I was reflecting on all that's happened this year, I realized something. You really cannot separate COVID from the race riots and racial conflict from the election debacle. I see all three of these crises, these constitutional crises, as related. Now, how far will I go in thinking that there's coordination? Well, as far as logic and facts can take me. Okay? I don't know anybody who sat down in a room and conspired to coordinate these things, but I can logically follow the facts and ask whether it's more likely that there's some level of coordination somewhere, somehow, among some people, even if it's not all one group of people. Are there various groups of people who are in some way communicating with each other or sharing a single thread? But think about this. Our economy was literally brought to its knees. Now, it didn't remain there, but was literally brought to its knees by a virus released by a communist country, which is our most serious and threatening adversary in the world right now. And all this stuff about Russia, and I'm not saying that Russia poses no threat whatsoever, but Russia is not the economic gargantuan that China has become. Russia does not have the numbers of people that China has. And frankly, Russia is no longer a communist country. Now, I still believe that it is a kind of pseudo-totalitarian country. I think Putin is the boss who runs Russia. But it is not a communist country any longer. And therefore, it ideologically, it is not as if it's at war with all of our values. I think Putin is at war with the fact that America broke up the Soviet Union, or at least was responsible for the Soviet Union's breakup, and therefore responsible for the diminution of power that that those in charge in Russia once exercised. They don't have the level of power they once had. And I think Putin resents that, because I think he wanted to preside over this behemoth. He wanted to preside over an empire. And as a result of Ronald Reagan's leadership, primarily, and of course others as well along the way, but I give Ronald Reagan credit for this mostly, instead, the Soviet Union ended up collapsing in on itself. Communist China is a whole different story. 1.5 billion people. An economy that's been growing at times at 10% per annum, an economy that is responsible for the manufacture of many of our most essential products, is including, as we found out this year in this era of COVID, including our medical and pharmacological supplies. Look, we know that they are stealing our technology. We know that they're stealing a lot of our military secrets. We know that the FBI said they open up a case of espionage by China every 10 hours, every 10 hours. We know that Eric Swalwell was compromised by a Chinese woman who was a spy, who apparently was doing sexual favors for him. We know that John Ossoff, running in Georgia for U.S. Senate, received money from China, which he hid and then claimed, oh, he forgot it was an oversight. We know that the Biden family has been bought lock, stock, and barrel by Communist China. And by the way, folks, let's be fair about this, because this network is not a Republican network or a Democrat network. We're a network about truth. So let's be fair about this. Mitch McConnell's wife, and I'm not accusing her of any wrongdoing, but she has very, very close ties to Communist China and to that regime, very close ties. And that their family has made money as a result of those close ties. They're very, very wealthy. So, you know, the communists don't care whether they co-opt Republicans or Democrats. They just want to co-opt Americans. I think they ultimately want to bring us to our knees. They ultimately want to subjugate us, make us a satellite, make us beholden to them. I don't know how you do that with the United States of America, because you don't really want to wake the sleeping giant. You really don't. But let's face it, they're probably seeing signs that they can do that. They can do that. Now, so we've got COVID, which I don't believe is an accident by any stretch of the imagination. Look, I don't know whether they discovered it or they concocted it intentionally, but I do believe that the release of it was intentional. I don't see how you can see it any other way when they stopped flights coming out of Wuhan into the rest of China but allowed flights to leave China and go all over the world. I don't see how you can see it any other way. Here again, I'm just following the facts and logic. I'm not, that's not a conspiratorial theory. That's just a fact. Now, you couple that with the leftists in this country who are enamored of and romanticize communism and really think that America would be better off as a more Marxist country, a socialist country. You got a guy running down in Georgia, Raphael Warnock, who claims to be a minister. I call him a minister of death because of his abortion stand. But he's written that Marxism is needed to inform and enlighten and mature the theology, he would say, of the black church. But I'm sure he would say, if you pushed him, of all churches. Yeah, the atheist, God-hating Karl Marx's philosophy is what's needed to help make our churches better. Now, you take COVID, and then you add to that the fact that Communist China has been pouring billions of dollars into this country through its university, through our universities, through these Confucius Institutes, buying up our businesses. Not 20 miles from where I live, Smithfield Foods has been bought up by China. And I don't think any of us has any idea how much of our business is owned by Communist China. So you add that to the mix of COVID and the money pouring into our country politically and the desire of China to weaken us and destabilize us. And guess what you've got? You've got the formula for financing all kinds of riots and looting and mayhem and chaos in cities across this country. And anybody who doesn't see that those things were imbued with Marxism, remember demanding that people leave their homes because their homes were stolen, going into places and looting them because that property doesn't represent the people. In other words, private property is not a concept or a principle that is honored by communism. And to the extent that there are business people now in China who are wealthy and are doing well, make no mistake about it, they are beholden to the Communist Chinese Party. And if those people get out of line, they disappear. And most of the time, the people running those big companies and those apparently wealthy companies are high-level members of the Communist Party of China. So now you've got the Wuhan virus and the riots all connected to this communist move and influenced by Communist China. And notice how the Democrats and liberals, they would blame Donald Trump for the virus and then say anything you say about Communist China is racism. That's racism. So in other words, they're giving our adversary cover, even though they're committing multiple acts of espionage against us on an ongoing basis. They're stealing our technology. And yet somehow the blame should lay on the shoulders of be put on the shoulders of Donald Trump, not Xi Jinping, not Communist China. Oh no, we can't blame them. No. And then add to that the fact that this election that we've just gone through, fraught with all kinds of cheating and fraud and inappropriate practices and changes of the rules at the last minute. And by the way, let's not forget this, using COVID as an excuse for these gross irregularities and last minute changes in how the voting process would take place. Yes. Using COVID. Now, is that just a coincidence? Well, I'm sure not everybody who's taken advantage of it has been conspiring with Communist China, but I just can't believe that there's not some coordination here, some awareness that you destabilize the country with a health emergency, and then you use that as an excuse for doing what you need to do in an election in order to assure the outcome. See, I think these three have to be connected. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Back more than 2,300 years ago, a preacher wrote these words, "My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is." Well, there are millions of people who are seeking and searching for what the preacher had forgotten, happiness. More than 2,000 years later, another man by the name of Charles Farrar Brown made a famous statement concerning happiness. This is what he said. Now listen carefully, because this is good advice. "Let us all be happy and live within our means," he wrote, "even if we have to borrow the money to do it." And you'd be surprised at the number of people who are pursuing this elusive quality called happiness by following Brown's humorous advice. This statement seems odd, but has a world of truth in it. The most unhappy people in the world are those trying the hardest to be happy. We Americans annually spend billions and billions of dollars searching for this magic, evasive thing called happiness. Dr. Gallup, not the one who's living today, but his father, the fellow who had a way of finding the mood of the public, took a poll on happiness at one time. He found that the most unhappy people were those who frequented the taverns. How odd that seems. I was under the impression that people went to the honky-tonks to have a good time. Could it be by some strange quirk that a good time and deep-seated happiness are not the same thing? The great truth of life is that happiness comes as a byproduct. The best way in the world to miss happiness is to pursue it directly, to go searching for it in every dark bar and every tipping of the glass. Dr. Austin Fox Riggs once said, "Happiness is a byproduct of successful living. Happiness is a byproduct of holiness," or if you prefer a less religious word, just use the word wholeness. Holiness and wholeness, they both mean the same thing and bring you to the same place. Happiness is the result of an inner state, not outer security. Happiness comes not from without, but from within. Betty Barton, who had been paralyzed because of an automobile accident, once wrote for Life magazine these words, "We are suffocated so with things and with distractions that the real pursuit of happiness is impossible. Happiness is primarily an inner state, an inner achievement." And so it is. Happiness isn't the goal of life. Holiness is. "Seek first the kingdom of God," Jesus said. "Seek first the kingdom of God." Don't go after happiness or you'll miss it. Seek to do God's will and live by His plan, and happiness will come without your seeking it. This theme of matching happiness and holiness is one as old as the ages. "Happy is the man who takes refuge in the Lord," said the psalmist. Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, gave 9 ways to be happy. We call them the Beatitudes. You'll find them in the 5th chapter of Matthew in the Bible. I suggest you learn and live them. We spoke of Dr. Gallup in his happiness poll. He also had this observation to make. "Our survey showed that the most happy people are those who have had a real religious experience." 'Tis true. Seek first the kingdom. After that comes happiness.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I want to remind everybody, as we come to the end of the year, and you are planning your taxes and making your final contributions, as some of us do at the end of the year, we want to make sure we get it. I'd rather give it to something that I believe in than just turn it over to Uncle Sam to do who knows what with it at times. And as you're considering that, we hope that you will think about American Family Radio and what we do and how much your contributions help us to keep doing what we do. So just keep us in mind and make the most generous donation you can. If you're making some donations before the year end, please put us on that list and make the most generous donation you can. Go to AFR.net. Our donate page is right there, and you can make your donation there. So, look, I want to come to your calls here in a second. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we can talk a little bit about my really developing understanding that what we've witnessed in 2020 are not several separate things, but really one coordinated effort in some way. And here again, I don't think you have to be a conspiratorial thinker to sort of connect the dots and see, well, wait a minute, this stuff is all working together in a way to advance a particular cause, a particular approach. COVID, the riots, and the election, all imbued with this kind of Marxist, socialist, totalitarian spirit. And it's evident in every single one of those situations, in every single one of them. Is it a coincidence? So let me bring a couple other things into the mix, and then I want to take your calls. 888-589-8840. We all know that Warnock is a communist running in Georgia, and Ossoff apparently is too. Ossoff took money from the communist Chinese, and then, I didn't know. I didn't realize it. I forgot. We forgot. Yeah, right. And Warnock is a self-declared Marxist who, claims that Marxism is what the church really needs. So go figure. Here again, how in the world can you be a minister and believe such nonsense and believe such evil? Well, they just had a concert, and they had some rappers come in. The rappers they had come in, I never heard of these people until I read the articles about it. J.I.D., FKA Dram, and Tokyo Jets. And so I just was curious, Democrat candidates are bringing rappers in. What kind of people are these? Well, I looked up some of the lyrics on their songs. I can't repeat those lyrics on the air. Okay? Can't repeat them on the air. But whatever profanity any of you's heard in the past, believe me, they use that and probably took it up several levels beyond that, or maybe I should say probably took it down several levels beneath that. Now, that's the Democrat Party today. The Democrat Party is really the party of moral degeneracy. And let's face it, that's just what they've become. And Christians, sadly, are still caught up in supporting them. And think about this. If I'm supporting candidates, I want to be able to go to something that they're holding proudly as a Christian and gladly and be able to say, wow, this is really great. How many Christians, I wonder, went to this concert being sponsored for these candidates by these filthy rappers, FKA Dram, Tokyo Jets, and J.I.D. These are their, nom de clairs for their entertainment names, or whatever. But here's the kicker. And you say, well, EW, of course. I mean, what do you expect? That's the Democrat Party today. They're all caught up in the entertainment world, and you expect that. Guess where the concert was held? At a church. Oh, yes, at a church. Now, it's not that they did the concert, because that's what you would expect of them. But that it was hosted by a church? And I don't even want to get into it. You can look it up. It's a church in Atlanta. But you just think, what kind of minister brings these people in? Now, look, let me just say very clearly. These folks would be welcome to come to my church and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached because I love them and God loves them and we want them saved. They would not be welcome to come to my church to perform anything because they don't have anything to say. Because they can't come and spew that filth in my church. They couldn't even do something for me outside of my church because I don't want to be associated with what they have to say. What they need to be is saved and cleansed of that filth that's on the inside of them that they spew out in their music. But a minister invited them to come. I think they had this outside on the church grounds, but it was clearly sponsored by the church. And of course, we're always being told as conservatives, you know, you stay out of politics. But you know, you never get that kind of advice for these far leftists, these godless ministers who aren't even saved. I mean, I don't know the minister of this church. I know who he is because he's fairly well known, but I don't believe the man even knows God. Well, how can you? And bring that message to the church. That's blasphemy. You know, Jesus is holy. God is holy. And you bring that mess into the church and put the church's imprimatur, the church's seal of approval on it? I mean, what's wrong with you? How do these Christians, there's got to be some Christians in these churches, how do they put up with people like Raphael Warnock and this guy who is the pastor of this church where they had this concert? How do they put up with that? And the only reason why I'm not mentioning him is he's not a candidate for office, so I'm gonna stay away from naming him. But it's not hard to find. It's just held in the last few days at a very well-known church in Atlanta, a church that's had more than its share of controversy, by the way. And I'll leave it at that. So that's one. Let's see. What was the other thing I was going to mention to you all? Oh, yes. One other thing on Georgia, how important this election is. They've now uncovered that Warnock was involved in a child abuse scandal with a camp that he was overseeing. And when the police got the report from a young man that he was abused and they went to investigate, apparently the report was substantial and there was a civil lawsuit and the camp settled the lawsuit out of court. When they went to talk to the young men, Warnock got so irate that the police had to arrest him and take him away. And he later claimed, I was just defending the right of the children to have legal counsel. What? Let's try to get at least one call in here, folks. I went on longer in that segment than I planned to, but let's try to get at least one call in here. Let's go to Haywood in Mississippi. Haywood, welcome.
Thank you. And I praise God for a man like you that's got the guts to connect the dots to the communist overthrow. The 3 points you put forward are absolutely correct, and I'd like to add one more. The destruction of the church, the infiltration of communists into the American church, and that filthy mouth, the Bible says what comes out of your mouth is in your heart, and these godless communists and Democrats, that's all they know is filthy language because that's what's in their heart. And I thank you, and I pray for you every day. Hang in there and keep it up, brother, and I'll take your comments off air.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Haywood. Well, listen, I appreciate the encouragement to me, but I think you can't really think about this stuff and see it as just isolated coincidences. You just can't. I think that strains credulity. I really do. So, and like I said, I'm very resistant to that kind of thinking, but in this case, resistant or not, I think you just got to acknowledge it for what it is. And it is all coming from the same source. And you know, George Soros and these misguided, wicked, evil billionaires who are using their money to try to bring down our country, and all these people who are enamored of communism and romanticize it, and hate America and love communist China. Go figure. Back in a moment.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years and lived as a man. When Laura came home, we were all ecstatic. And so I just woke up one night and it just kind of laid on my heart. We need to start a specific basket with names of prodigals in it that we will pray over.
Learn more or submit a prayer request at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
Because we all have someone.
The holidays are a time when families traditionally come together to be thankful and celebrate what Jesus has done. Satan loves to use that time to amplify past hurts, to try and destroy families. But Kendra White says those broken relationships can be mended. In her Engage magazine article, Staying Christian During the Holidays, Kendra outlines steps you can take to help heal the hurts of the past and bring your family together as God intended. Read this article and more at EngageMagazine.net. EngageMagazine.net.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Genesis 3, to me, has so many parallels to a lot of our own issues in life.
The Bible has so many applications for our lives, as Jackie Hill Perry describes on Focus on the Family Minute.
Primarily, one of the things that stood out to me, it's many, but one of the things that stood out to me most is how when Eve looks at the tree, she said that it looks good for food, that it's delight to the eyes, that it desired to make one wise. That desired part was interesting. It's like, oh, she had an affection for a created thing. And that's literally what Romans 1 says that we do, is that we want the created thing more than we want the creator. And so I think what I was experiencing was the fruit of what Adam brought into this world, which is that we have this desire and this lust and this affection for those things that God has told us that we don't or we shouldn't eat from, you know.
More from Jackie today at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
This is another little tidbit, folks. This guy, John Ossoff, any of you Georgians listening, John Ossoff, you know where he's raising most of his money? Not from Georgia, California. Yeah, his largest single set grouping of contributions is coming from California. He's raised 6 times as much money in California than he's raised in Georgia. So that tells you who he's going to represent if he gets elected. He's going to be representing California and Gavin Newsom's values, not Georgian values. So that would be a big mistake. Can you imagine Georgia becoming like California? Oh, Lord, perish the thought. Okay, let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Jeff in Iowa. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call, Bishop. I just had a couple of comments. One, I think that they might be able to more appropriately build the Loeffler-Warnock race as the Loeffler versus Lucifer race.
Okay, okay.
And then your comment about China buying everything up, I don't know, back in 2017, there was an article about China buying up seaports. And they announced the plan in 2013, and in 4 years, they purchased 29 ports in 15 countries through an operation called China Merchants. And then they also have Costco shipping, and that operation has 47 terminals in 13 countries. And I heard, I think, last spring that they had a bid in to buy the Port of L.A.
Wow. Well, look, thank you for that information. We need to, Jeff, we need to do a thorough investigation in our country of every place that China has its fingers. We really do, as a matter of national security. And why political correctness causes us to ignore what is being done to undermine our country, then shame on us and on the people who are allowing that to happen. And frankly, we the people have got to rise up and just demand it And when they call us racist and all that, just ignore them because they're just idiots when they say that kind of stupid stuff. So I guess it would be okay if we were being infiltrated by a European communist country, but I don't see anybody saying that that would have been okay if it were Russia. But if it's China, don't say anything, because after all, China, they're not white per se, and therefore you can't really criticize them. I mean, what, you know, sometimes you just, of course, this stuff is intentional. Let's face it. People aren't really that stupid. It's that they're using it to give themselves cover. That's all it's about. They're just using it to give themselves cover and allow communism to work its way through our country, and you can't criticize it. Even though, so the FBI, I guess, should close down all their espionage cases. You can't bring an espionage case against a Chinese person. That's racism. Yeah, right. Okay, thank you for the call, Jeff. We do appreciate you calling. And Happy New Year, by the way. And let's go to Robert in Montana. Robert, welcome.
Yes, brother. Thank you for taking my call. A quick question. If someone steals something from you, do you have the legal right to retrieve it in the best way possible? Let's think about that.
I think I know exactly what you're getting at. And I think the obvious general answer is yes. Then you have to look at exactly what the circumstance is to determine what action is appropriate to be taken to retrieve it, right? I will simply leave it at that. Robert, thank you so much for the call. I love Montana, big sky country out there. Let's go to May in Minnesota. May, welcome.
Yes, I agree with everything that is being said. And I just had as far as the virus being let out by China, absolutely. And I don't think we should give up on the election yet. I'm still praying and lighting candles, and I think there is going to be a miracle. At least I hope so. And as far as the shutting down of these businesses, what the Democrats are doing is that they're closing these businesses so they'll be more susceptible to becoming socialist. When you can't eat, you're going to turn to something, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're control and power, without a doubt. Think about that.
Well, May, look, you are right on target, and that's what this is all.
And another comment on that coin, yes, Israel is making a coin with Trump on it. I don't think we can give up on the election. It's too important, and keep praying. But think about that. If people can't eat, they're going to be much easier to control. And so shutting down all of these businesses and these businesses that are losing their businesses, how are they ever going to get back?
Well, May, thank you for the call. Thank you for the call, May. Got to get some more in. But May, some of these businesses are never coming back. Some of them are never coming back. If we get an economy that we have to hope that, first of all, look, I agree with you, and I'm still believing God for a miracle. I mean, I am believing God for a miracle. We've got 22 days to see it happen. It is not too late. But God forbid that we have a president, unlike like President Obama, who believes that the new normal is little or no growth and more government spending and more debt. And we've incurred a lot of debt under this presidency, but he's been in a circumstance where with COVID, it's kind of hard to avoid it, unfortunately. And COVID was not of his making. He did something he just had to deal with once it came. And you can't let the American people just starve. But these governors and mayors shutting everything down, which here again, I think is proving to have been an absolute wrong policy, wrong-headed in every way. But you're right. I think you're absolutely right, May. I think that, notice, it's the leftists who like to shut everything down because they want people dependent upon government. They don't like free enterprise in the first place. I mean, Stacey Abrams, who is one of the now new Democratic leaders in this new American majority, as they call it, has said, I get tired of hearing about free enterprise. Free enterprise can't do anything for anybody because the profit motive won't let you do what's right. And you just want to say, what kind of economic ignorance? Where did you learn that something. Well, you didn't learn that. She was indoctrinated to believe that. So, yeah, May, we've got, you're right. I think that's exactly what's going on here. And thank you for the call, May. Let's go to Carl in Virginia. Carl, welcome.
Yeah, hello, sir. I've got a couple of comments, if I may. The Supreme Court had the greatest trial that they could have accepted in all of this country's history, and they turned it down flat, real quick. And in my opinion, and the Supreme Court, new regime, if they make it in, is going to have no trouble getting things through past the Republicans. They say the answer to it is, we know where you live. That's all my comment is.
Okay. All right, Carl. All right. Well, I'm not quite sure how to take that one, but thank you for the comment, Carl. God bless you. Let's go to Mike in West Virginia. Mike, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. All of this reminds me of a Bible verse. I don't remember where it is, but it's, men make their plans and God laughs.
Yes, Psalm 2, right? Right. Yes, that's exactly right. That's why I remain hopeful, and I hope you are too. I hope everybody listening is, because, you know, people think they're so smart. You know, wicked people who are twisted in their thinking think they're so smart and that they can outsmart everybody, you know. But Abraham Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people some of the time, you can fool all the people some of the time, and some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And yet these leftists think they can. Folks, you know why I call this program The Awakening? Because that's exactly what we want to do, wake people up. Mike, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Mindy in Indiana. Mindy, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question
is,
I feel like God has allowed China to be raised up and powerful and have money to help fund some of these countries surrounding Israel. But my question is, where do you think China falls in tribulation, and how do they get under the Antichrist?
Well, wow, that's a good question, and I am not an end time specialist, Mindy, but I would say this: China's already under the Antichrist. I mean, they've already got a system. Remember that Google was helping China, and I don't know where this is now, but Google was helping China develop a system for giving people merits and demerits for their adherence to communist doctrine and to their usefulness to the Communist Party. Google was helping them to track every person in communist China. So these are tools that the Antichrist undoubtedly will use, probably far advanced than what we are right now, depending on how soon that the son of perdition emerges. But I think that's already happening. And so where China fits in, you know, most scholars believe that the nations that will rise up against Israel, Gog and Magog, will come from the east, and that China is one of those nations. And I subscribe to that view as well. But, I mean, you can see it right before our very eyes. They are investing all over the world to try to create one world domination by communist China. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the Bible says the spirit of Antichrist is already at work. And I see it at work there. But, you know, sadly, I see it at work here, too. And many of our politicians who have this idea that the Constitution can be ignored and individual liberty can be ignored, and they can do what they want to do because, after all, it's an emergency. And, you know, I think it was Ben Franklin who said, and I'm paraphrasing because the quote's been given several different ways, but those who would trade liberty for security deserve neither. So we're not trading our liberty for some purported security that the left would claim to offer us. That's not security at all. Well, folks, we're marching toward a brand new year. And no matter what went down this last year, don't you dare be discouraged. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.